You've just tuned into the SCB Steelers Fan Podcast, sponsored by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. Real Steelers talk for hardcore fans. All right, Steeler Nation, thanks for joining us here on the Black and Gold Airwaves. My name is Matt. That is Mark, and we are ready to talk some Steelers football. So what is happening, dude? How are you feeling after that opening week win?
Man, I'm feeling I guess I know what it feels like to be bipolar. And no offense to those that suffer from that, but you know, such an amazing first half followed by just the complete opposite. But at the end of the day, it's a win. And let's face it, man, you get a win in the NFL and you take it. You don't apologize for it. You take it and you move on to the next week because it's all about getting into the playoffs.
Yeah, you're exactly right. The Steelers, of course, got the win, so they are 1-0, you know, as is half the rest of the NFL right now. So a win is a win, and in the end, nobody's really going to look back and say too much about this game other than they got the W, and it was a division win, which is super important. They started out at home, so there's good things from that perspective. The bad things are simply just the fact that for anybody that watched it, it was a complete Jekyll and Hyde performance, a tale of two halves, whatever you want to call it. The Steelers looked like they were the team to beat in the entire NFL for 30 minutes. And then in the other 30 minutes, they looked like they couldn't fight their way out of a wet paper bag.
Yeah, well said. Just unbelievable. And, it, you know, I know a lot of that blame goes to the defense because, you know, giving up the 24-point lead. The offense didn't help either. You know, Haley did not go back to the no huddle as soon as I thought he should. He didn't get aggressive. I mean, Cleveland comes down, scores. It's 27-10. And I thought, okay, all right, ramp up the no huddle. Start chucking some of the short stuff. Let these guys do just what they did in the first half. Let's go down. Even if you kick a field goal and you get it to 30-10, you at least get a little of the momentum back. And they just couldn't do it. And thankfully, number seven put it together at the very end when he needed to. He got some help from some new guys like Justin Brown and Marcus Wheaton. And we got the W. But, man, a lot of question marks.
Yeah, there's a ton of question marks, and I think Ben even said right after the game in one of the interviews with one of the media personnel, they said basically what happened, et cetera, et cetera. And he's like, well, we just kind of got away from the things we were doing in the first half. And I'm like, well, why does that always happen? Why is this such a broken record? I think I tweeted out in the second quarter of that game, I said, is anybody else getting that, you know, deja vu feeling that, you know, here we go again? Is everything going to implode in the second half feeling? And I got some retweets and some replies back and stuff. And there were a lot of people that were thinking this was too good to be true because it's kind of been the MO for this team is to have one good half and one terrible half. And it's rare for them to put a complete game together. And, you know, you can blame the defense because they can't stop anybody in the second half, or the offense goes into some sleep mode where they want to run out the clock. Combination of both, you know, you can also chalk it up to possibly a coaching issue where, you know, they don't make adjustments at halftime even when they are winning. You know, there's still adjustments to be made because you know they're going to counter it. And for whatever reason, the Steelers just have this problem continuously, and they start off this year in the same fashion of a good first half, and then everything just goes to hell in a handbasket in the third quarter. And once the floodgates open, they can't stop it. They just cannot stop it. I mean, thank goodness for Marcus Wheaton and that audible that Ben called, and you know his heads up play to make sure that they got enough time, you know, to kick the field goal, and of course for Swijam for making it. So, you know, they made enough plays in the very last couple of minutes on offense and defense to get the win. But man, I mean, you know, when you give up a 24-point lead, there's just something that's just not right, and it continues to be not right.
Well, you know, I think you made the point that in the direction I was going to go, and that's the ability to make changes on the fly, I think, has always kind of haunted, you know, both sides of the ball in Pittsburgh in recent years. And let's face it, this team was was out executed, out coached. I mean, they were everything in the second half, and you know, the bigger issue to me is this, the constant excuses coming from some of these guys. Well, we were caught off guard. Well, we were on our heels. It's like, well, what did you think Cleveland was going to do? Did you think they were just going to come out and pound it between the tackles, you know, with straight ahead running and just say, we're going to get out of here? I mean, of course they were going to go to some no-huddle, hurry-up type stuff. It's the only way they could get back in the game. And, you know, they practice against a team in training camp in our offense that runs a no huddle. It shouldn't have been that unfamiliar to them, but yet it was. And if I'm Baltimore, I'm chomping at the bit. I'm thinking, man, we're going no huddle. We're going to keep them on their heels just like they said they were, and we're going to make them stop us. Because let's face it, they came up with a couple plays at the end. You know, William Gay made a few plays to knock balls down, and that was it. I mean, because that game was just so dangerously close to not going our way.
Well, and do you get the feeling, I mean, is there anything right now that tells you that we're not going to have another season like last year where this is a weekly debacle for, you know, I seem to love that word, I don't know why, but some weekly disaster where they get a good quarter followed up by a bad one, or a good half followed by a bad one, and we're doing the same heart attack Steelers scenario every fourth quarter for the next 15 games? I mean, is there any hope right now that you can see of things going any different? You know, was this maybe just an anomaly for one game this year? Or, you know, are we doomed for this for the next 3 months?
I think I'll tell you what. First of all, debacle is a very underrated word. I love debacle. But, you know, no, I think this is where we're headed. I mean, I predicted this team was going to go 8-8 again, and I exactly for what we just saw. I think that the offense will be able to move the ball. I think they'll be able to score some points, but I just don't know that the defense can consistently shut teams down. And let's also be honest here, that was Cleveland with a backup running back who rushed for 100 yards, basically all in the second half, and a receiving core that you could have pulled off any milk carton in America. I mean, where were these guys? Who were they? You know, no Josh Gordon you had, and they lost their good tight end, Cameron. You know, it's not like they were getting beat by the Patriots or some of these other teams. I think this is what we're headed for. I think teams are going to see those cutback runs that are so good against the Steelers' defense right now, because Jason Worlds and Jarvis Jones, just they can't set the edge, or they crash down too hard and it bounces out. I think this is what you're in for, people. I would go to your cardiologist. I would get checked out now, get your health all set and ready to go, and just be ready, because this is what's coming.
Oh, and you know, I mean, it was just when you were watching this, I was excited because the Steelers were moving the ball and they were going downfield with big plays, and Antonio Brown was in there and Wheaton, and you know, everybody was doing well and Bell was running like a madman. So I was excited, and then the second half came and I watched that defense who, you know, our defense who had just been through halftime, you know, so they were rested more or less. They come out and they are gassed on the first drive of that no huddle. I mean, conditioning, you know, maybe they weren't ready. Caught off guard is a bunch of crap, if you ask me, because you know they're practicing against it. Every team practices against the no huddle and runs the no huddle, so you know what's coming. We're supposed to be this young, fast, hip, speedy defense, and you know, the opening drive for Cleveland in the third quarter, were, you know, guys' hands on their hips, they're sitting on the ground on one knee. I mean, this is just, if this was the Steelers' defense of a couple years ago, they would have been hauling them out in stretchers with, you know, freaking oxygen masks on their face or something after that.
Well, you're right. I mean, that's why the excuses, and I wrote about it today on the website about I'm tired of the excuses of this defense already after 1 week. I mean, just flat out come out and say, you know what, we got beat. We couldn't make the adjustments. They were running the ball at will. The play action was working. We couldn't cover anybody. We got beat. Just come out and say it. I'll have a lot more respect for you if you can just admit you were getting beat, rather than all of these different excuses. You know, we weren't ready for it. We were on our heels. You know, Tomlin at nauseam about the lack of communication. That's a high school JV football team excuse. Lack of communication. That stuff should have all been taken care of in training camp. You work on this stuff. It's all part of why you're in training camp. you know, is to prepare for every possible scenario that you're going to see during the season. You should be working on it during the preseason, too. I mean, the Eagles game, perfect example. All that high-speed offensive stuff. If you're going to work on your communication, that's a great place to do it, and apparently they didn't do it. And so, you know, I guess in some ways we're maybe overreacting a little bit simply because of the huge comeback by Cleveland, but you know, we still got the win. But at the same time, it God darn it, it's so nerve-wracking to watch that second half implosion.
Well, and you know, you would think that we would be used to it by now, but every week that goes by and it happens again, we're just not used to it. You know, I mean, you watch Twitter, if you guys are on Twitter and you watch the hashtag Steelers timeline just fly by at like 100 miles an hour. You know, every time something goes wrong, or even when something goes right, it's, you know, we're waiting for the next bad thing to happen. And, you know, I would love to go through a whole game where there's not some implosion, even for a couple of drives or a quarter. Just let's put together a complete game. And, you know, it is a divisional game. It's the AFC North. They're always going to be tight, or at least more often than not. So, you know, maybe we overreact a little bit. But, you know, if this were the first time we ever saw this, then maybe we chalk it up. But this is every week almost for the last several years. So I'm not ready to say anything other than, you know, let's try and put the excuses aside. And, you know, we are a relatively healthy team for the most part. You know, go out there and play like we need to. There's a huge game coming up on a short week here on Thursday night. But before we get to that, tell me your thoughts on the new Karate Kid for the Steelers.
I got to tell you. I had just pulled up Twitter before I sat down, and I got a tweet from a T-shirt company in Washington, D.C., and I'll send it over to you later. But it's got a T-shirt with Antonio Brown. It's a very kind of crude-looking, you know, drawing of a guy in a karate outfit with the football helmet on doing a kick. You know, and it says Antonio Brown Karate School, Pittsburgh, 2014. And it's funny. I mean, it's very simple and it's funny. But, you know, I'll tell you, I got to be honest with you. It looked incredibly blatant when he did it. Now, with that said, I don't think he's that kind of guy. I think what happened was he got up in the air. He thought the punter was going to go low, because a lot of these guys do go low on these returners. And I think when the guy came up, I think Antonio's reaction was, all I've got in front of me is my foot, and I'm using it to get out of the way. And I think that's what happened. If he's fined, I think it's a shame. He got the 15-yarder, which was appropriate. But, yeah, oh, man, the laughs this week with the memes, or I don't what the hell do you call that?
Memes?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. Memes, maybe?
I don't know. Those funny pictures and the videos. the funny videos, man, just hilarious stuff.
Yeah, you know, it was hysterical. I mean, like, the second it happened, everybody just busted out laughing, you know, where I was. And I was watching on Twitter like I always do, and people were just laughing, and, you know, you kind of thought he was going to get penalized for it, but I'm not really sure what they called the penalty. I can't remember, other than being like an unnecessary roughness personal foul type of thing. Yeah. But I believe that he said afterwards that he was anticipating the punter for Cleveland going low, basically to kind of, you know, basically try and take his legs out like they always do. And when he didn't, and Brown was like, well, you know, I might as well commit. I'm already going to do it. So it was pretty much, you know, my foot's coming down, get out of the way or else. So, you know, he got the penalty. I can't imagine there would be a fine. If there is, I think it'd be kind of ridiculous, because both guys were laughing at it. It was like a one in a million thing that nobody's ever seen before, but it was hysterical. Like, those images, videos, everything, the GIFs were coming out like literally within minutes of that happening. I saw them flying by Twitter. It was just hysterical.
It was, and as you said, the punter, Spencer Lanning, he laughed it off, said it was funny. I loved, there was a tweet from Pat McAfee, the punter from the Colts, who's very funny. He's on the Bob and Tom show all the time. He put out something like, "Hey Antonio, get the curb stomps out of the way before we get to town later this season." You know, and Mike Pettine even said, "I don't think it was intentional. It just looked that way. It absolutely did." And hey, you know what, Matt? We just reached about the half point of our show, and we're gonna turn it over here real quick to our sponsor, Body Tech Gym in Pittsburgh. You're listening to the SCB Steeler Fan Podcast, sponsored by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. For $29.95 a month, you get 24-hour access, and there's no contract. Body Tech offers a full juice bar, powerlifting room, yoga, spinning classes, silver sneakers, student rates, a woman's only room, and certified personal trainers. If you need to get back in shape or you're just looking to build on what you have, get into Body Tech today. They're located on Perry Highway in Pittsburgh. Call 412-364-7334 and tell them Steel City Blitz sent you.
And we're back here on the show talking Steelers football. So let's jump into the game this week coming up here against the Ravens. Obviously, it's Ravens week. It's Steelers week. We hate them. They hate us. Ratbirds, Steelers, whatever. It's the whole rivalry that every NFL fan can appreciate, and us Steelers and Ravens fans absolutely love to hate it and hate to love it. Everything about it is just an awesome week because it's against the team that everybody can't stand. You know, the dreaded purple rat bird people from Baltimore, the Baltimoreans, whatever you want to call them. I personally, well, we've been through my feelings on them 100 times, so there's no sense going into it. Of course, Terrell Suggs with his T-shirt and the rant and raving going on. The game in and of itself took on a new twist this week when, of course, Lord Goodell and the NFL had to actually impose the punishment that they should have done in the first place, or at least thought about doing in the first place when the Ravens cut Ray Rice and the NFL suspended him indefinitely, putting out the word that anybody that even wants to think about signing him, he has to clear a process through the NFL. So his career, if it's not done, it's done for at least this year. Nobody's going to touch him with a 10-foot pole. Of course, the video surfacing from TMZ where he punched out his then-fiance, now wife, dragged her out of the elevator, et cetera, et cetera. I don't want to spend too much time on this because, quite frankly, it's not worth it. The guy's an idiot. But the fact is that this is something where I firmly believe it, and maybe I'm just a conspiracy theorist with the NFL, but there is no way on God's green earth that Goodell can get out of this, unscathed. I mean, this is something that video wasn't – they had to know it was there to some degree. They had to have seen it even though they're going to say they didn't see it. And now that it's out, they had to react and pull the trigger and actually just get him off the team. And before I let you talk on this one too, because I want to make sure I make the statement too, I was listening to Sirius this morning and they were talking about how – during training camp and preseason, Ray Rice is getting standing ovations from the fans. Yeah. He's getting, applauded on the Ravens website for this, that, and the other thing, being a stand-up guy and owning up to his responsibility. Now, who looks like the idiot? The Ravens fans, the Ravens organization, the NFL, everybody backing this guy like he's some kind of a saint, and he was just labeled as give him another chance. Now, all of a sudden, they find out what really happened.
Yeah, and I'm right with you. I don't want to spend any more time on it than necessary because it's been killed lately across the board. But, I think Goodell, apparently he did an interview with CBS tonight, and I haven't had a chance to see it. But, he made a comment, apparently something along the lines of, we don't really know how TMZ got a hold of this. We go through legal, channels or law enforcement. And I mean, that... You're absolutely right. There's no way that the NFL, at least two or three people at the NFL, didn't see this video. It had to have been seen. I don't care what anybody tells me. TMZ even came forward and said, we know they saw it. They saw it about the same time we saw it in the hotel, the casino hotel. I think another part of this too is how good is Ray Rice anymore anyway? He had a really down year. Maybe it's not that big of a loss. But every team goes through this stuff. Not to this extent, but every team has players that get in trouble, make poor choices. Look at the Steelers. I mean, we had two morons, the Bong brothers with marijuana, and Le'Veon Bell had a fantastic game. And I'm right with the rest of the fans. I cheered for him. you know, even though I'm ticked off at him. But, you know, this is obviously, as you said, this is a much greater thing. He's going to be out a while. I don't know how long it's going to be. I don't think anything's going to happen to Goodell. I think simply because his number one job is to make money for the owners, and he does that extremely well. They don't want to lose that. I'm sure they'll give him a stern talking to that you can't do this kind of crap, but I don't think he's going anywhere. And the only way they could get him out of there is with I think they would need a two-thirds vote of the teams. And look, they need evidence. They need evidence to say he saw it and he lied about it. Of course, they could also chastise him for not investigating it enough, too. But it's one of those things that will certainly be talked about in the pregame, and I hope that's where it stops.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, you're right. Ray Rice is not like a Pro Bowl running back superstar anymore. I mean, you know, maybe he would have had a great year. Who's to say? I don't know. I don't know how big of a loss it is because, you know, I mean, it is a loss to some degree from an experience factor right. And depth, if nothing else. And, you know, I'm not presumptuous enough to say that, you know, Goodell's going to be impeached or fired or whatever he can happen to him as, yeah. You know, in his place in the NFL. But I think the NFL shield that he swears to protect is so unbelievably tarnished now. I mean, you almost can't even see your reflection in it anymore if you want to go that route. There's so much domestic violence here, you know, guys, you know, beating up women, smoking marijuana on the way to the plane. I mean, there's so much going on right now that the NFL just looks like a ridiculous group of guys out there with too much money goofing off, you know, having too much power, too much influence. And, you know, it's no wonder that the soccer parents of today don't want their kids playing football because it's full of idiots like these guys, you know, Bell and Blunt not excluded. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, guys, you know, a couple years ago, like Chris Rainey, and, you know, the Steelers are not, you know, immune to this, but, you know, they will generally take matters into their own hands and deal with it swiftly, and credit the Ravens for pretty much doing what they would have had to have done, and that's cut him, because, you know, the outcry from the general public was bad enough now. If they would have just done nothing, it would have been astronomically worse. But you're right. I hope it stays in the pregame, but I figure we should at least give it a little bit of a presence here on the show because it does affect the outcome to some degree.
No, it does, and I think it just intensifies a little bit an already intense rivalry. And you know, as far as the game, this is a monster game. I can't believe I'm saying that about the second week of the NFL season, but look at it from Baltimore's perspective. They could not only fall to 0-2 with a loss, they'd be 0-2 in the division. And if you look at Pittsburgh's point of view, they go 2-0, but they're 2-0 in the division. So, I mean, this is a critical, critical game from that standpoint. And, I mean, we already kind of talked about the defense in terms of making adjustments and being able to handle things. But, you know, Gary Kubiak runs that offense in Baltimore now, and he's one of the masters of that zone running game. And he will, I guarantee, look for lots of those cutback runs, those traps and stuff. Or not traps, but design cutbacks to the outside. And, I mean, the Steelers are going to have to prepare for that. And at the same time, that offense better take advantage of a pretty average Baltimore defense.
Yeah, I believe at this point, Ladarius Webb is out, or at least so, you know, that's something that they can try to exploit. But you're right, I think they're going to have to be able to withstand that initial flurry of, you know, the home crowd on a primetime game, divisional, and, you know, through the first couple of series of the first quarter. If they can withstand that flurry or firestorm or whatever you want to call it, and, you know, not let this game get out of hand early, let the crowd really be a factor, you know, let's face it, these teams are going to play each other tough. Neither team is what they were 3 to 5 years ago. Right. So, you know, this is a new thing where, you know, maybe we don't see the bloodbath that we used to anymore. You know, maybe it's more of an aerial attack. I don't know how it's going to pan out, but you're right. You can bet your last dollar that the Ravens offense is going to try to exploit this young, inexperienced defense with so many new faces, especially, you know, a linebacker and secondary and pretty much all over the place. So I expect them to do a lot of cutbacks, try and get this team running one way and then go back the other. Pretty much anything they can do to get them off balance. I would expect no huddle just because the Steelers haven't proven they can stop it yet. I would like to see Haley and Ben run the no huddle here and get the crowd out of it early, you know, possibly either get the ball first or on our first opportunity, get down there and put some points on the board and not let this become some kind of a situation where Baltimore's up by a couple of touchdowns and then, you know, we go into this, you know, shell of ourselves in the second half and we can't play. So it's going to be a super important game, but the opportunity for us to go up 2-0 in the division and send Baltimore 0-2, that's huge.
It is, and I can't stress it enough. You know, and furthermore, Matt, both of those losses, if it happens for Baltimore, would have come at home.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you know, so this just becomes super huge. Obviously, you just like Sunday, you take it any way you can get it. I don't care if we have to kick 7 field goals. I'll be mad about it, but I'll take a win. You know, just get the W. Find a way to get that W. You know, it would be nice to see some of our other playmakers. You know, Troy had about 11 tackles on Sunday, but was relatively quiet. It would be nice if he flashed a little bit, maybe picked off a Flacco pass or something. And, you know, I think special teams-wise, Sushi looked better, obviously kicking the game winner. And Brad Wing, who's been incredibly inconsistent in the preseason, he had a pretty good game punting the ball. So, you know, I think the team should feel pretty good about itself. There's only a couple of injury issues. Dree Archer kind of has an ankle knee type thing, and I guess he's listed as questionable. Some of the guys that didn't play last week, like Lance Moore, Martavis Bryant, they're listed as questionable, and it looks good for those guys. You know, so it looks pretty good injury wise right now for the Steelers. So that's good, because it's not been too many years we've been able to say that even this early in the season.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think it's a credit, especially on the offensive. So, well, offense and defense, some of the young guys really stepping up. You know, Marcus Wheaton, of course, had a critical play, you know, and late in the game. He was basically, with Lance Moore out, he was the guy opposite Antonio Brown. So I think he's really starting to have the light bulb come on, for lack of a better term. Ryan Shazier is just a monster. That kid is just so good. He doesn't even know how good he's going to be yet.
Yeah.
Like, even when he screws up, he's still making a good play. So I love watching him. I think I'm not worried about the skill position young players on offense. The thing that concerns me is just, can this offensive line stay healthy? Can Gilbert get out of his own way, you know, in any sense of the imagination here, and actually stop somebody from pass rushing against Ben?
Well, and you know, we probably haven't given that enough time. The offensive line was very shaky on Sunday. And to be fair, Cleveland's defense has been tough the last few years, okay?
They are good. You're right.
They're pretty solid. But Gilbert, oh my goodness, the bull rushes he gave up. Kelvin Beachum was getting beat with speed. Ramon Foster has struggled throughout the preseason, and he was kind of up and down, you know. So you just hope they can take care of business. I mean, Suggs is still a good player, but I don't think he is what he used to be. But either way, they're going to have to keep Ben upright. They can't afford to let anybody get a free shot on him.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, this team will go offensively as far as the offensive line can take them. We know Ben's going to be fine. We've still got Heath. We've got Bell and Blunt back there. We've got, you know, good receivers, although young. You know, we've got enough talent there. If this line can just start to actually get better and stay healthy, I like their chances this week and going forward. But that's a big if. So, of course, you know, we'll have tons of the offensive line talk going throughout the year, I know, because they're always a hot topic because they always stink. So let's actually hope that they don't stink as much and they actually play well this year. But before we wrap this up and get out of here, I don't know if you want to say a couple of words about the sponsor for our podcast. I know at Steel City Blitz here, myself, of course, you and Chris, the other writer here, we're excited to have our first sponsor for the podcast. Of course, you probably heard it on the intro there, as well as the little segment in the middle. So why don't you take like a minute or so and tell us about them?
Yeah, just real quick, you know, it's Body Tech, just tons of different awesome things they've got going in that gym right now. The owners, you know, didn't have to take a leap and sponsor just a couple of guys' podcast the way they did, and they did, and I know I'm grateful. We're both grateful, and the guy that I did the contacting with, Scott, the manager there, total professional, outstanding. I mean, if you're interested in going to Body Tech there in North Hills, talk to this guy. He oozed professionalism. He would tell me, hey, I'm going to get back with you in an hour, and he was back with me in an hour. I mean, everything was just great, and we're extremely excited, and we hope that we can, you know, do a little something for them, and they can do a little something for us too, and just really cool to have a sponsor for this. It's not really something we're familiar with, so it's really cool.
Yeah, definitely. This is something we are excited about. It's a new feature here on the site. It's great to be partnered up with them. So definitely, if you are in the Pittsburgh area, check them out. We'll have a link, of course, in the podcast. There'll be an image there on the show there on SoundCloud, and of course also on SteelCityBlitz.com. So definitely check them out. Thank you very much to everyone at Body Tech Gym for signing up with us. We're excited about the opportunity. I think with that, we will start to wrap this one up here and get out of here. There's a game coming up Thursday, obviously the prime time, the first one for week two. Any parting thoughts before we get out of here tonight, man?
You know what? Just hopefully the Steelers can make the proper adjustments. They're a better football team than the Baltimore Ravens, in my opinion, and I would love to see them win. I think it's going to be like a 23-20, 23-17 game. So take your heart medicine, Steeler Nation.
Yes, and for me, I will be sure to have some medicine to deal with my black and gold ulcer, as I like to call it, that seems to visit me every fourth quarter of the regular season and the postseason whenever we get there. So so with that, yeah, let's definitely wrap this one up. So thanks for everybody for listening to the SCB Steelers Fan Podcast, sponsored by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. We will catch you next time. Thanks for listening to the SCB Steelers Fan Podcast, sponsored by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. Check them out online at bodytech-gym.com or call 412-364-7334. If you'd like to be a guest on the show or have a question for us to discuss, hit us up on Twitter at scblitz or on steelcityblitz.com and use the Contact Us option on the right side of the homepage. SteelCityBlitz.com is an independent fan site not affiliated with the Pittsburgh Steelers or the National Football League. Our opinions are our own.